Welcome back if you've just tuned in. You're about 30 minutes late. Start the program at 6 minutes after the hour, talking with Dave McGrath, Liberty Mutual Insurance. We're talking specifically homeowners insurance, but certainly rights for cars. Car insurance premiums, Dave, seem to have the reputation increase based on the number of claims, perhaps moving violations like speeding tickets. It's that Woody Allen movie where he said his wife would never have to fear about getting a moving violation. At least he was talking about his sex life. So in your home, what has to happen for your homeowner insurance guy to say, hey, you know, is it just a number of claims or high risk, or you suddenly don't clear away your brush in a high fire area? What kind of criteria is there?
A number of years ago, well, probably about three now, the industry as a whole started surcharging for homeowner claims. Didn't matter what kind of claim it was just an occurrence. So the rate on the first claim would basically go up, say, by 15%. Second claim, 30 or 40%.
Wow.
Third claim, you know, you might need to start looking elsewhere because it shows that someone's not taking care of the property. Certain companies like us, I mean, because of longevity, you know, with a client, we actually forgive their first claim if they've been with us for 5 years with no losses. I'm sure some other companies out there do the same thing, but it's just a way for the industry, just like, you know, in auto insurance. I mean, if you have someone that has a couple of tickets, you know, means they're not paying attention. And deserve to pay a bit higher rate for that inattentiveness.
Right. But what kind of dollar figure, you know, gets back to, well, you know, the my homeowner's insurance is a little damaged here, but, you know, I'll just pay it myself rather than file the claim. I guess once it gets big enough, you might say, well, I'm just going to bite the bullet and file the claim.
Yeah.
Speeding tickets, of course, you have a choice, but sometimes these things are sudden and accidental.
Right, exactly. And that's
not
the purpose of insurance. I mean, we're there to take care of the person that has a sudden and accidental catastrophic loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you have someone that has a $500 deductible and turns in a claim on a $600 bicycle, I mean, you really need to think that one over.
Right.
The use of higher deductibles, you know, prevent the, you know, turning in of smaller claims.
This one woman I know who might be listening, she got annoyed. She put in a claim or something or two and just never seemed to be covered. So she literally just canceled her homeowner's insurance. Her house is probably worth $1 million. And she has a lot of money and she has no homeowner's insurance. What would you say to her to convince her to get some kind of coverage? I would assume you would at least urge her to get liability insurance at the bare minimum.
Well, I mean, liability is part of the homeowner package. When you're buying the homeowner product,
I mean,
liability is included in that.
So you can't separate it out?
No. I mean, there may be some comprehensive personal liability policies that are available through brokers, but, I mean, it would probably cost more than the cost of a homeowner package just to separate that coverage out. I mean, she's basically functioning as her own insurance company, which, you know, if you have a lot of money, that's great. But, you know, I think I'd rather pay $1,200 a year, you know, if my home burns down and have the insurance company pay to rebuild it, than having to spend $500,000 out of my savings account to rebuild the house.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, same thing on a liability claim. She has a gardener come on the property. The guy steps in a sprinkler hole, breaks his leg, can't work. You know, I mean, he's got injuries that she could be responsible for. It's a lot less expensive to have the insurance company with the big dollars behind it pay for that than herself out of her, you know, net savings, or possibly lose the property. You know, if she doesn't have enough money to pay for a particular loss, she possibly could be forced to liquidate the property to satisfy a judgment.
Well, that sounds awfully familiar. What's that?
I said, that's expensive.
That sounds awfully familiar about the judgment against that fellow who's accused of setting the Painted Cave fire.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's exactly what might be happening right now. But I don't think he'd have insurance to cover that that kind of thing. Well, it is the self-insured. She does have the money to self-insure. But the irony, and I was trying to help my mom out and her deciding to whether to continue her long-term health insurance or in-home health insurance. And one of the things I read is that if you have the assets you want to protect and you can afford the premiums, you pay for in-home health care. Because down the road, instead of spending all your money for in-home health care, you'll protect your assets. And I guess the same could be said here. Speaking of health insurance, sometimes if you need to get health insurance, a physical might be required, a doctor's exam. Does your insurance company or Liberty Mutual or the insurance at large, their criteria, you walk in, I want to insure my house, what kind of questions are you going to ask in terms of the age of the roof type, the electrical systems? What's your barometer?
Well, I mean, it's all factored in. I mean, the insurance company doesn't want to buy an imminent loss. I mean, we don't want to write a home that has active knob and tube wiring, a shake roof that's, you know, 50 years old. I mean, those are not, you know, what if claims. I mean, it's just when the claim is actually going to happen. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, the property owner is, you know, has to assume a certain amount of responsibility to maintain their property in good condition and make sure that it's properly insured. I mean, it all falls back, you know, onto the homeowner, ultimately. So, I mean, you want to make sure that your property's in good condition, your systems are up to, you know, up to code, up to snuff. I mean, if you haven't replaced a water heater in 30 years, that water heater's going to leak at some point.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned knob and tube wiring. I think that's when we first connected with you. You came into town, and you, Liberty Mutual, was one of the companies that was writing.
Yeah.
For those kind of things, and that's how I first met you, because you wrote some homes for me, because so many of the older homes at that time, and I'm sure today, have original wiring such as that. Now, sometimes people upgrade the electrical panel, but that knob and tube wiring might still exist. And some, and a lot of electricians will claim, as long as you don't have insulation in there and up in the attic, it's going to work fine. But today, is that something that you won't write?
Yeah, we won't. I mean, knob and tube wiring, I mean, it's archaic. If you have knob and tube wiring in a house, more than likely the wires at some point are bare. That cloth sheathing that was over it at some point is gone. If you have, you know, insulation that touches it in an animal, I mean, you've got, you know, two wires that are connecting. You've got an imminent explosion and fire.
But you were talking earlier about people concerned about rats. This is going to be a way to control your rats up in your attic.
Just until it explodes and lights the house on fire. You know? I mean, it's things that need to be, you know, taken care of. A lot of people, you know, yeah, they may have upgraded the electrical panel, but, you know, is the amperage of the wire going to be enough to handle, you know, someone's computer or hair dryer? You know, if the circuit breaker is too high, you know, the wire gets overheated, and then you've got a potential fire. Fire is the big, you know, issue with the knob and tube wiring.
Gotcha.
You know, and insurance companies change their underwriting standards. I mean, when we first met, that was 15 years ago. Things change.
Yeah.
Mold was covered back then, too.
Look at your knee.
Yeah. I don't have that 30-inch vertical anymore.
You're getting old. It's funny, but I haven't. It's the oddest thing. You mentioned what we talked about, earthquake, and I was thinking about floods. Will homeowners' insurance rates in California go up because of the hurricanes back east?
My guess is no. In California, the California State Insurance Commissioner's Office has to approve any rate changes, either increases or decreases, that the industry makes. So, and you basically have to show them that you're unprofitable on a particular line of insurance. If you're profitable, they're not going to give you any rate increases.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's pretty localized, but I mean, what you have to look at, too, is the cost of construction is going to be going up. You know, and for the individual homeowner, that's something that they really need to take a hard look at, making sure that they have enough coverage.
Let's see. Now, flood insurance, I asked you what percentage of people that you personally insure for earthquake, and you gave me roughly 50%, and maybe industry-wide, at least in California, might be 30 to 40%, roughly.
Yeah.
What about flood insurance? Now, a lot of times you buy a house, it's a floodplain, you have to get flood insurance. How many people get flood insurance when they're not required to get flood insurance?
Not many. During our last major El Nino, we had people that were calling up and asking, you know, begging to buy flood insurance. But, you know, with the special flood program, if you're not in a floodplain, surrounding properties need to sustain damage for that flood policy to even pay off. So, I mean, for most people, in my mind, it was a waste of money. But, you know, you tell people what, you know, you kind of think they should do, but, you know, if they want to waste their money, they can.
Sold a house. It was on an acre of land, and it wasn't real long and narrow, but it was certainly a lot longer than it was wide. And did the disclosures with a property ID report, which discusses whether or not it's in a high fire area, high flood area, and it came back as in a flood plain. And the seller said, well, God, we're not paying flood insurance. And upon further research, it turned out that it was just a little corner of the property, way down at the end.
Yeah.
And the house was built right in the front. And once we explained that to the insurance company, they didn't require flood insurance.
It's not the insurance company that requires the flood. It's the lender.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you can negotiate that. And the lenders, you know, have to require flood insurance so that the loan amount is insured by the federal government.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, it's a two-way street. I mean, ultimately, the federal government decides what areas are in, you know, floodplains based on surveys, you know, that are done. So, I mean, it's not the insurance company that's telling you that you need flood insurance, although you can buy it under that special flood program that I had mentioned.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, in 23 years, I think, you know, I've probably written maybe 30 or 40 flood policies. You know, it's just not that many homes that I've written are in a floodplain.
Right. Well, I hope you wrote insurance for this program because it's over. So we have no time left. Thanks, Dave McGrath from Liberty Mutual Insurance right here in Santa Barbara. What's the best number for you, Dave?
898-2637.
898-2637. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for sharing with us some stats. And
thanks, Mark. It was fun.
Take care of your knee.
Well, I see the doc this afternoon.
You still driving that vet?
Oh, yeah.
Not going to give that vet up, huh?
Oh, no.
It must be tough to get in and out of that vet with a bad knee, though.
A little difficult.
You cut the top off and be hoisted in before you get rid of that vet.
There you go.
All right. Enjoy the day. Take care.
Thanks,
good luck
Mark.
With the doctor's office.
All right.
Bye-bye. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We're going to take a break and come back and do the weekly multiple listing sales update. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.